this table here has four legs. Okay, so you have a truth, life, church, gospel. It's a solid table, standing real well. What if you take away one of the legs? It probably will stand, but very shaky. If you take away this leg and you put a glass of water here, it may tilt. If you put a pitcher of water here, for sure it will tilt. If you have two legs gone, then for sure the table is collapsed. So think about this. Four pillars. Truth, life, church, gospel. Now, you think about this also. Let's say you start with truth. Number one, truth. You believe the truth. What happens when you believe the truth? You hear the truth. That's step one. Then you believe on the truth. What happens? You have life. You get saved. See? Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but would have eternal life. You hear that? You believe that? Then what do? Then you have eternal life. Right? Okay. When you have eternal life, who have you become? A member of the church. See? A son of God and a member of Christ and a member of the church. Okay. And then what does the church do? What's the commission for the church? Go and disciple the nations, the gospel. Right? And what is the gospel? The gospel is to teach this truth and impart this life to produce more for the church. Right? These four are always in circles, in cycles. You cannot separate truth from life. Because once you believe in the truth, you have the life. Look at let's say Ephesians 1, 13 also, right? You have heard of the word of the truth, and believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise, right? So you get sealed with the Spirit. That means you get life. So the truth brings in the life, and then immediately, as soon as you have life, you are part of the body, part of the church. And then the church, according to Brother Watchman Nee, the primary function, the ministry of the church is to pray, right? But according to Brother Lee, the first commission of the church is to preach. So you have two things, pray and preach. Okay, pray. But pray for what? If you look at Matthew 6, to pray for the kingdom to come. Pray for the Lord's will that has been done already in heaven to be done on the earth. You don't pray for the will of God to be done in heaven. It's already done. Whatever done, the done deals in heaven must be brought to the earth. That is a prayer. And what is it basically? Is all the believer, all the chosen ones would believe. That's the kingdom. Right? That's the will of God. Okay, so these four, always. And then in the middle of all that is prayer. You hear the word, you pray, you have life. You have life, you pray more, you grow. In the church prays for the gospel, for the Lord's move, for the Lord to raise up another church in the next city. Next to Brisbane. What is the next city here? What's the next city?
Logan.
Huh?
Logan.
Is there a church in Logan? Why? Brother Lee came to Berkeley. He said, how can you have a church in Berkeley for 20 years and still does not have a church in Oakland, which is the next city? So how can you have a church in Brisbane for 32 years? And you still don't have a church in Logan. You started?
Yeah, the church in Brisbane used to remain in Logan. Yeah,
then how about Logan?
Saints live there, but
there's no church. Yeah, see, you gotta have you don't have enough saints so that you don't have a church there. So Brother Lee, after he said that, so we sent some co-workers to Oakland to raise up a church. So in 1 year, they raised up a church. So it's good. And then when Brother Lee came, we say, oh, Brother Lee, we have a church in Oakland. That's good. But then turned out that, you know, all the saints in Oakland were Chinese speaking. And then later they moved to Alameda, which is another city. So there's no more church in Oakland now. Still no more church. So after 40 years, there's no church in Oakland. So just like Logan moved here and no more church. Okay, so you have to go back and raise up a church. What is the next city after Logan?
Huh?
Yes.
Ipswich.
Oh, like England. Ipswich. Okay, so you got two target cities. Logan and Ipswich. So see how long it takes for you to raise up a church. Now, even if you raise up a church, don't just say, oh, now we have a church like Oakland. And then don't watch it. And then poof, it's ran away to another city. So, okay. So you got the point, right? Truth, life, church, gospel, they are related. They cannot be separated. You cannot say, I love truth, so let me study the Bible. But if you're not careful, you don't have light, you don't pray, what you study becomes doctrine. And the letter kills, right? The letter kills. So you don't want to be a killing machine. So be careful. Don't be a killing machine. So you read the Bible, study the Bible, and then you become a killer. Okay. But if you read the Bible and study the Bible and you pray, you receive the light, you receive the Spirit, you receive the life, then you become a life-giving machine.
Amen.
Well, certainly we are not machines, but anyway, a life giver. Okay. So you cannot just say, okay, I love the truth and I pray a lot. Then I become living God man, and I stay home, become a living God man. It doesn't work that way either. A living God man would be running out of the house to bring the truth and the life to other people. Look at Jesus. Look at the gospel. What did he do? What did he do after he got baptized? What did he do? He went to pray. And then he went out to pray in the morning, right? Mark 1:35 talk about him getting up early when it was still dark. Over here is hard. It's beginning to be light at 5 o'clock. So if you want to go out, get up before dark, it will be like 4 o'clock. Well, sometimes you cannot follow the exact letter, because depending where you live. Okay, so actually in the North Pole, you know, half of the year is never turned dark. So, but anyway, you understand the point. The point is, before you get busy, you get up first to go and pray alone. Remember alone, sisters. Remember I talked to you about last time? Alone, not with others first. Alone first, and then with others second, right? That would be good. Okay, so you cannot separate them. You cannot say, I love truth, I love life, but I don't like Paul. Dang. What type of truth did you learn? What type of life do you have that you don't like a brother? Right? In 1 John, it was clear. If anyone says he loves God and does not love his brother, he's a liar. Okay, so when you have the truth, you don't have life. When you have life, it's the life of God that loves. Then you love the brothers in the church, right? And not only the church, brothers in the church. How about the second commandment? First commandment is love God. That is truth and life. Love God with all your heart. What's the second commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. So bring the gospel to the neighbor. Okay, let's say I am rich. He is poor. He's my neighbor. I am eating a big chicken. And then he has only one pea for dinner. So what should, I love my neighbor. What does that mean? So I cut off my chicken half for his family and half for my family. Okay, that's loving my neighbor as myself. I mean, really loving him as myself. Okay, now I'm full of Christ. I'm rich with Christ. I have lots of truth, lots of life. My neighbor has none. He does not know the Lord. He does not know anything. So what do? So I bring the gospel to him, right? Okay, so you understand. And then it says, upon these two hangs all the laws and the prophets. So forget about everything else. Take care of these two. Then you will have everything else. You'll take care of God. You love the Lord. You love your neighbor. And you got everything. Yeah, upon these two hangs all the laws and the prophets. One of the laws may say, thou shalt not covet. Okay, don't worry. Just love God, love your neighbor. Thou will not love covet.
Amen.
Isn't that good? Just two commandments. If you cannot remember so many commandments, just remember these two. Love God, love man. Now, love man there particularly, he said, love your neighbors. Particularly. Do you know your neighbors? How many neighbors do you know? I mean, really, no.
On the same street?
Neighbor, you know, okay, that's a good point. On the same street, let me tell you, there's a guy, his neighbor is so big. His neighborhood. He used to live in heaven. Then he came to earth to find his neighbors. So, how big is the neighborhood? Depends on the heart. You know, that guy is called Jesus, right? Okay, he was in heaven. And then he came to earth. Remember, that was in Luke, right? Talking about the Good Samaritan. Here's Jerusalem. Here's Jericho. So this guy was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And then he was beaten up, half dead on the road. Yeah. And there's a priest from Jerusalem going down. So the priest lived close to this guy. So it should be his neighbor. But he passed by. Yeah. Then there's a Levite also passed by. And there's a Samaritan. He lives up here. By driving, maybe 2 hours today, and by walking, maybe 3 days, those days. Okay, 3 days journey. He came over here, saw this guy, beaten half dead, and took care of him. And then the Lord say, who is his neighbor? Then the lawyer said, it's the Samaritan. So this neighborhood is pretty big because his heart is so big. He just saw the man. So Jesus came down to earth to save us. Actually, we were on the way to hell, lake of fire. Okay, so if you ask my same street, that's good. Start there. Start from your same street. And then after you finish, there's the next street. And then the next street. And the next street, right? how big is your neighborhood? Depends on your heart. Okay, so know the truth, come to the full knowledge of the truth. That is for the full growth in life, maturity of life. That is for building up of the church as the body of Christ to bring the gospel to the whole neighborhood. How about that? So don't just come to meeting. Come to meeting is good, but it's only the beginning. It gotta come to the meeting, learn the truth, grow in life, build up the church, and then go out and preach the gospel. Now, You pray about Solomon Island. That is good. You know what that is, right? You should know. I just found out. It's some sort of sports event in Solomon Island for all the islands. It's kind of like that, right? So you just like Paris next year. You go to Paris. There's going to be Olympics, and the people from all over the world will come to Paris, and then you give them a Bible. Who knows where the Bible will end up, right? So same thing in Solomon Island. But that's good. That's good. However, how about your neighbor? You may fly all over the Solomon Island and then let all your neighbors go to hell. What is that? I love the Solomon Islands, but I don't love my neighbors. Remember, second commandment is love your neighbor. Well, there's also a commandment that's go to the nations, disciple the nations. But that's the last sentence, last chapter, last verse of Matthew. But in the beginning, it talked about loving our neighbors. So loving our neighbor is more important than going to Solomon Islands. But don't stop going to Solomon Island. And it's good to go. It's good to go. So don't say Paul said don't go. I didn't say that. I said it's good to go. But how about your neighbors? That's more crucial and more common. You can pray, oh Lord, when is Solomon Island? Huh? November 19th. What's today? 17. So 32 more days later, then you go. What are you going to do for 32 days? For sure pray. But how about the gospel? For sure, your neighbors. And you don't have to. We say, oh, let's offer so that we could go. Some could go. Your neighbor, you don't need to offer a thing. Just walk over there. Don't even need gasoline, not even one drop. Don't even need to start your car. Just walk over there, your neighbors. Okay. Okay, that's good enough for now. Okay, remember, in this room, after 32 years of being a church here, not one locally born and raised person was brought to the Lord here. This is a big thing. And also, 32 years, Logan still does not have a church. Now, Brother Lee talked about Berkeley for 20 years. So you are 12 years beyond 20. So actually, it should be every maybe 5 years, 6 years, there should be a new church raised up in next city. But we don't have that concept, right? That's the problem. It's not that we cannot do it. It's that we don't have the concept. When I heard that from Brother Lee, I was shocked. Wow, this is amazing. We have to have a church here. After a while, we should have a church next door. Let me give you another example. In Mexico, there are 32 states. 31 states plus the capital. Okay, 32. So there are state capitals. And turn out that 6 state capitals don't have churches. So some brothers pick up a burden to start to pray for these 6 capital cities. So that's good. Then we ask the churches, who has a burden for these 6 capitals? So about 10 churches say they have the burden. That's good. Wonderful. So just like GTCA, right? You have 8 target cities, you know. So we have 6 target cities. Okay. But we have 160 churches. So 10 churches are going to take care of these 6 cities. What are the other 150 doing? They can sleep. They can die. They can be lukewarm. They can be barren. No, they cannot be, should not be. They should take care of the cities next to them. Yeah. Amen. Just like what Brother Lee said. Right? The 10 Particularly, they are bigger, they are stronger, they have more burden, they take care of the six capitals. Because they have to travel. They have to pay money to a group of saints that will advertise in those cities and then gather up seeking people and then go visit them. It takes strength, money and time and people and strength to do that. Okay, that's good. But how about the other 150? Don't let them go. Don't let the 150 go to sleep. Let the 150 also rise up like Berkeley to reach out to the cities next to them. So this is interesting. You have an activity going on, then everyone else can sleep. No, you have an activity going on that is extra. Everyone must do the normal thing. The normal thing is my neighbor. That's the normal thing. Do you have that idea that every time you see your neighbor, you are just anticipating to meet him and to greet him and then invite him to your house or bring him a little gift? Do you have that idea? No. What's the matter with you? Love your neighbor. So this is our problem. We are kind of blinded to many things. I mean, such a clear word from the Lord, right? Yeah. First commandment, love your God. Second commandment, love your neighbor. So clear. You don't even need to study. You just listened that once, and then you should have gotten it. But we need hearing aids. I told my wife she needs to buy hearing aids. She's told me I need hearing aids because many times she's speaking in another part of the house and expect me to hear it. So I didn't hear it. And I was listening to something else and reading something else. And she said, oh, you need hearing aid. Okay. Then I found out she needs hearing aid because I told her things for 50 years. She never got it. Do you have that problem? But the Lord told us about this for 2,000 years. We didn't get it. We need hearing aids. We need some good hearing aids. You know what's a good hearing aid? It's be converted to be a little child. That's what Jesus said. Some brother asked me, you know, the Linnell's church. You know, Linnell came last time from Chihuahua, the city called Chihuahua. I was there last month. And I was talking about something, and then one brother said, well, how can we speed up the process to change, to advance? I said, well, just listen to the Lord. He said, be converted to be a little child. What's a little child? Why a little child? A little child knows nothing, but wants to learn everything. Why? You get bothered by their whys, but that is how they learn. Why this, why that? When are we gonna be there? Are we there yet? The child. That's a child. A child knows nothing, but wants to learn everything. But we are around. Us brothers have been around for a long time. And there's a term among the saints called Lao Yo Tiao. You know what that is? You know the food that we ate today? There was a fried bread wrapped up with a noodle. That fried bread in there is called youtiao. That is fried by the oil. Okay, that become thick. But then if you leave it there for too long, then it shrinks and then full of oil. The oil drips out. It's called, and then it is not crispy anymore. It is soggy like rubber, and everyone hates it. So don't be a Lao Yo Tiao in the church. Old fried bread. It's terrible. Fresh fried bread tastes good, but it's still bad for your health. But old fried bread is still bad for your health, yet doesn't taste good. So don't be a Lao Yo Tiao. But be a young baby, little child. Okay. Then you can learn. Amen. If you are not a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It says that. Okay, let's read the outline. We don't have that much time, so let's just read it. The Lord's recovery is the recovery of the light of the truth. Interesting. It's not only the recovery of the truth, but the recovering of the light of the truth. Okay, they explain in point eight. Truth is a shining of light. So from the source, from God's side, is a light. But when it shines to us, it becomes a truth. The expression of the divine light. One, truth is the issue of light. Knowing, knowledge without light is doctrine. So I just mentioned that earlier. Knowledge, but knowledge full of light is truth. So, is it doctrine or is it truth? Let's say the verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Is that a doctrine or is that a truth? Depends. If you have the light, then you say, wow, God loves me. Or you just read that verse and does not touch you. So it's important. Then B, the truths as revealed in the scripture have been lost, missed, misunderstood, misinterpreted, and wrongly applied throughout the ages. So those are the few different descriptions of what happened to the truth among us, among the children of God. One, the goal of the Lord's recovery is to recover the reality, okay, the life, the livingness, the strength, the power, and impact of the matters revealed in the Bible. So whatever the Bible talk about must be a reality to us. So let's say this verse, love God, love your neighbor. So that must be a reality. If it is just a doctrine to us, a commandment to us, without the reality, the life, the livingness, the strength, the power, and the impact, then it's just two verses in the Bible. You could have just cut it off and throw it away and nobody will notice. This is our problem. We read many things, we don't take it to heart. Two, the truth and the Lord's recovery is the consummation of the truth of the past 19 centuries. Wonderful. It's good to live here. What if you are living in the 15th century or 14th century before Martin Luther discovered that we can be saved by faith? What would you live there at that time? Wow, what a tragedy to live at that time. But now, because of the accumulation of the discovery of the truth, we have the consummation. See, we need to have the truth wrought into us and constituted into our being. Okay, 1-7 describe that constitution. One. Okay, let's start from here. Paul, and then we go this way, reading one by one.
One, to be constituted with the truth is to have the intrinsic element of divine revelation brought into us, become our constituent, our intrinsic being,
okay, the truth, it says, have the intrinsic element. Intrinsic means something inside. It is not on the outside. So it is the truth itself with the light and the life and the spirit gets wrought into our being to reconstitute us. Okay, two.
There is the desperate need of the living truth. The church, to help the church to exist, to help and to build up the church.
Okay, so we talk about the church here, right? The church here, we have the truth, and the truth is living. Then we can produce a church, the church may exist, and the church may be built up. Amen. So think about this. When we are not constituted with the truth, what are we doing here? We have a meeting. What happens after the meeting? Nothing. But we need to have the truth, for the truth to produce the church, then keep the church existing, and build up the church. Okay, three.
The solid truth that is constituted in us become in us a constant and long-term nourishment.
Amen.
Long-term nourishment. So when we get constituted, it is our long-term nourishment. Consider Brother Watchman Nee in the jail for 20 years. What did he do? He did not have a Bible, right? So he had the long-term nourishment. So at the end, he said, I maintain the joy in my heart. That means I am still a Christian. He could not say, I'm still a Christian. If he write that, then people will throw that away. The gods will throw that letter away. But he wrote, I maintain the joy in my heart. It's a secret code for Christians. That means I am still a believer.
Amen.
I did not get frustrated. Okay, so he was constituted, so he had the long-term nourishment. Okay, four.
If the truth is wrought into us and constituted into our being, we will be able to protect the interests of the riches of God's divinity and the attainment of his consummation.
Okay, notice the references, Revelation 21, 12, 8, and 17. That's referring to the wall of jasper, 144 cubits high, surrounding the Golden Mountain, which is the city proper of the New Jerusalem. So that Golden Mountain is the interest of the riches of God's divinity and the attainment of his consummation. So the truth wrought into us to make us the jasper wall, build up together in oneness to protect that interest. This is quite a interesting thought. I don't know if you ever thought about that. The Golden Mountain, maybe somebody like to rob it. It's gold, all gold, precious. But then we protect it. We have a high wall, 144 cubits. That's symbolism, 144 cubits. But if you calculate it, it's like, it's about half a meter per cubit. So 144 cubits is 72 meters. That is like a building of about 20 stories. Ohio. So this is a pretty substantial protection. Okay, five.
The Lord's word, the truth, is in the Bible, but the Bible needs a proper interpretation.
That's right. So usually we use the story in Act. Is it 8? About the eunuch was reading Isaiah. He didn't know. So Philip asked him, do you know what you're reading? He said, how can I know without somebody teaching me or something like that? Okay, so we need interpretation. So the recovery version with the notes, the life studies, and all the books, these are all interpretations of the Bible. Okay, six.
We need to pay the price to learn the truth.
Pay the price. That means what? Most of the times we say, I don't have time, right? How about your time with the Lord in the morning? Oh, I don't have time. I have to get up early and go to work early. How about the reading of the Bible? Oh, I don't have time. I have to work, I have the kids, blah, 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 blah. So always it's like that. So this is what it means to pay the prices. Use your time. If you don't use your time, there's no way to learn the truth. Okay, seven. Okay, the truth is absolute. Sometimes I may say something and my wife may say, hey, you didn't do it, according to what I was teaching. That's a shame to me that I didn't do what I say. But what I say is true. Even if I don't do it, I have to say it. So this is the absoluteness of the truth. The truth has nothing to do with me. The truth is the truth. It's eternal. It's always true. So whatever is true, I have to speak it. But certainly I should learn to experience it, right? Okay, so the truth is absolute in itself. And we must be absolute for the truth. That means we don't change the truth because of people, because of people's opposition, because of people's not liking it or something like that. Okay? Okay, point number two. There's only two major points. So point number two. Can you read that? So God's desire. Actually, the front part is God desire all men to be saved. Then the second part is all come to the full knowledge of the truth. So being saved is only first step. Come to the full knowledge of the truth is the final step. Okay, A. I'm Pablo.
Recovery is to recover the full knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
Wow. Let me ask you. Are you in the Lord's recovery?
Amen.
You are. Okay. Did any truth get recovered today? Yeah, today. This is the Lord's recovery. Did you recover any truth today? You got my point now? We say we are in the recovery, but we don't get recovered in any truth each day. Then where's the Lord's recovery?
Amen.
Right? You read one verse. Okay, you got recovered one verse. And then you study the footnote of that verse. You got recovered more. Right? And you still don't get it. You read the life study related to that verse. You get more. That's how you get recovered. Now, the ultimate recovery was done by Brother Nee and Lee. Wonderful. So we have these books, right? The blue books and the red, green books. So there are three sets, right? The collected works of Watchman Nee, collected works of Witness Lee, and the life studies, the three sets. Okay, so that's good. So they recover. The Lord's recovery is the recovery of the full knowledge of the truth. Okay, they did it. Praise the Lord. But how about me? How about you? How about us? How about the church in Brisbane? How about the saints? How about you? Right? So you don't say, praise the Lord for the recovery. We have the whole truth on the shelf. That's the problem. If the whole truth is in you, wonderful. And you too, wonderful. In you too, in you too. Then wow, the church will be a rich church. A rich church. Okay, so let's get this recovery into us. Every day. You cannot get it. You can buy the whole set. Maybe it costs, let's say $10,000. Okay, you can buy the whole set right away. You got it. But to get it into you, takes time. Okay. A. No, one. Okay. So, is the church in Brisbane being recovered or is getting degraded? Depends. You get in the truth, you get in the truth, you get in the truth, all the saints get in the truth, you help the saints to get into the truth, then eventually the church is being built. But, being recovered. But if we neglect, we just leave them on the shelf, don't read the Bible, don't read the notes, don't pray with that. Okay, what do we have? We have nothing. So we become degraded church. So 32 years of building up or degrading? I see, it depends, right? So let's not make the 33rd year degrading. The 33rd year should be the recovery. Okay, point two. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So remember, this is not full recovery of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, but full recovery of all of us. Okay, into all of us. Okay, B.
Paul was an apostle not only according to the faith, but also according to the full knowledge of the truth.
Amen. So he was an apostle with the faith and the truth. Okay, one. Favor is to receive. Okay. Two. Okay, sister.
In the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, satisfies the need of the believers to come to the full knowledge of the truth.
Amen. Three.
The full knowledge of the truth is a thorough apprehension of the truth, a full acknowledgement of the reality of all the spiritual and divine things that we have received through faith.
Okay. So it is a thorough apprehension, the full knowledge. So that means the whole Bible, completely, thoroughly, every item, every verse, every point, every word, that is the full knowledge of the truth, because the Bible is the truth. Okay. Now, not only apprehension, but also the acknowledgement of the reality. So, yesterday, our brother Li Ping asked, how about the verse that says in Ephesians 2:6, we're seated with him in the heavenlies? What is that? Well, do you know that we are seated with him in the heavenlies? Amen. Well, the Bible says. But you don't believe that. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Are you sitting in the heavenlies? Or are you sitting in your dump? In your dumpy situation? See? Okay. Huh?
We follow our feeling.
Yeah, we follow our feeling. We don't see it so clearly. Okay, you pray read. You pray read that verse. You pray read it. You pray. Oh Lord, thank you Lord. You have seated me in the heavenlies with you. Hallelujah. I am sitting in the heavenlies with you. So after you pray for a while, you get the light, you get the spirit, you get the life, then you feel you are in the heavenlies.
Amen.
Then after a while, you start praying, and then you crash down back to your situation.
Yes.
Actually, in Psalm 139, it says that even if I am in heaven, you are there. And even when I make my bed in Hades, Sheol, you are still there. Make your bed in Sheol. That means you're lying down in Sheol, not even standing up. So we can be in very, very bad situations. But yet he is there with us.
Amen.
Okay, so if you pray with these verses, you get the reality. You get the light, you get the spirit, you get the life, you get the reality. Okay, see. Here. See. Amen.
Amen.
So it says all the believers, at least we in the Lord's recovery should do that, right? Okay. One. Ooh. Wow. So, you know, when people are younger, they say, oh, I have no time. When they get older, they have the time. Oh, I don't have the mentality. Seriously, is that the way to do it? No, when you are younger, take the time. When you're older, still fight for it. Then you will, you know, if you use your mind a lot, you will not have Alzheimer's disease so fast. Just exercise your spirit and use your mind.
Amen.
Okay. Every one of us have the capacity. Okay.
Amen.
Sister, brother there too.
Amen.
Knowing the truth is a fake safeguard. Okay. So a lot of saints want to be preserved. How? Know the truth. Okay, D. Okay, here it says subjective truth. Okay, let's see what that is. One. So two aspects. So objective aspect is what you read. Subjective aspect is what when that becomes a reality to you. Okay, two. Listen to that. You want a church to be produced, to be strong, to increase and multiply, you need the subjective truths. 3.
Amen.
The Lord desires to recover the subjective truth in the Holy Scriptures. The subjective aspect of the truth concerning the triune God and the church.
Amen.
The triune God and the church. Okay, this is a major point, triune God. Most Christians don't understand the triune God, and some have misunderstood it and become heretics. So we have to learn the objective truth concerning the triune God and convert it into subjective truth so that we may have the reality of the triune God. Okay, 4.
The Gospel of John is a book on the subjective truth for the producing of the church.
Amen.
Amen. 5.
The subjective truth are linked to spirit and life. Our constituted spirit.
Okay, this is easy to understand now. What is objective truth? It's related to spirit and life. John 6:63, the Lord said, "It is a spirit that gives life. The words I speak to you are spirit and are life." And how do you get the spirit and life? You pray, read. So in Ephesians 6:17-18 says, "Take the sword of the Spirit, receive the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the word of God by means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit." So pray reading the word properly, properly. Last time I talked to you about pray reading. I hope that you have learned. Okay, pray read properly is the way to receive the spirit and the life. So convert the objective truth into the subjective truth. Okay, then 8. Yeah, amen. B.
When we live by the Spirit and life, we have the experience of the subjective truths.
Amen. C.
The church life is an issue of our experience of the subjective truth. When we experience the subjective truth, the church is spontaneously produced.
Wow. Look at this. So when we come to the Word, we read the objective truth, we study the objective truth, then we pray, read, then we convert it into the subjective truth with the Spirit and our life, then the church is built, produced. Amen. E.
We need to fully know and be absolute for the highest. Wow. Because we need to know
the highest. Highest truth.
Amen.
Don't just take up some lower truth, but higher truth. Okay, 8:1. Amen. Okay, this is a very high point. Most Christians would not accept this sentence. And most of us may know about this sentence, but may not have enough experience of this sentence. So, hey, sister, you're going to become God. Are you excited? You're going to become God. But not the Godhead to create and to be worshipped, but become God, just like God, in life, in nature, expression, and everything.
Amen.
Wow. Do you believe that? We cannot, we dare not to say we don't believe it, but not so sure. In the training last week, Lin Hong was saying, Brother Lee told him, 99% of the saints don't live Christ, and the 1% is not so clear. So it's like 99.9%. Okay, so pray read this. Pray read it. PSRP. Okay, 2.
The high text of the divine revelation, the diamond in the box of the Bible, is the revelation that in Christ God has become man in order that man might become God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead.
Okay, what's the box? The box is the Bible. What's the diamond? This is the diamond. So the box has many things. The box has history and biology, biography, geography, all sorts of things, but and teaching and ethics and history and many things, and the prophecies, even many, many things. But the diamond of that box is this. We are becoming God, enlivened in nature. Okay, three. You have to read louder. Nobody can hear you.
God becomes man through incarnation. Man becomes God through regeneration, sanctification, learning, transformation, confirmation, and all
respect.
Amen. Amen. You know, I used to have a sister who worked for me. She speaks so quietly. You can hardly hear her. So every time I talk to her, I say, okay, stand over there, 30 feet away from me. And let's talk. So you have to train her. Speak louder. You know, otherwise, nobody can hear you speaking. You may be prophesying the best prophecy, but nobody could hear you. That's not good. So train yourself. Everyone, speak loud. Okay, four. Oh, wait, not you. Oh, they don't? Ah, okay. So go ahead. Sorry.
Does anybody have four?
No four. Okay.
It is only by God's becoming man to make man God that the body of Christ can be produced and built up. This is the high peak of the divine revelation given to us by God.
Here it says to produce, build up the body, right? The church in Brisbane is part of that procedure to build up the body. So we have to work on this matter. Okay, number F, you can read.
Amen.
Oh, you have it. Okay, you go ahead.
The standard of the Lord's recovery depends upon the standard of the truth.
Amen.
We put out. The truth will be the measure and the standard.
Amen.
You know, I forgot to say one thing today with you full-timers. In Mexico, we demand and we give time to all the full-time serving ones to spend 4 hours a day, 2 hours on the truth, 2 hours on the prayer. Part of it is personal, part of it is corporate. Okay? So who has time 4 hours a day among you? Who has four hours? Okay, that's good. Well, what's your name, brother?
Cephas.
Huh? Cephas, why do you have 4 hours a day to spend to pray and study?
I have time to, but I don't.
Okay. Oh, you have time to study and pray for 4 hours a day, but you don't. Well, that's not bad. At least you have the time. Okay. What are you doing now?
Right now I'm working.
Working, and you have 4 hours. Wow. Are you working? Do you have 4 hours? Huh?
Mathematically, yes.
By theory, okay. Anyway, so the more you have, the better.
Right.
If you have only 1 hour, that's fine. 1 hour, start with 1 hour. If you have half an hour, start with half an hour. But then it says at the end, right? What does it say? F. Read that again. F.
Truth will be the measure and the standard.
It says we put out, actually we take in. Put out is what Brother Lee put out, Living Stream put out. Take in is what we take in. So they put out, we take in. Okay, so that will make our church stronger and higher in the standard.
Amen.
Amen. Sorry, I'm over time, but let's pray a little bit, and then tomorrow we'll continue. Huh?
9:30?
Oh, sorry. I thought it was 9:15. 9:30. That's good. Let's pray anyway. And then share something.